I know Colt will be there hobbling along, so it's good to see him. We thank God that, that accident could have been a lot worse. We know God was protecting him. I've been a Christian for a long time, yet even though we're Christians, we have to fight the flesh, every day. And it's easy, you see God do some great thing, and you would think, some days you're like uphill on the mountaintop, you're praising God, you're worshiping God, you're thanking God, for everything He's done for you. But then the next day you go down, and it's like you forget everything. So the title, God's been working on my heart for the past quite a while about this. So I titled this, Don't Limit God. And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to be reading this from the New Living Translation. I'm going to start at verse 1. This is a really good chapter about a lot of healing that Jesus did. So, Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1 in the NLT, it says, Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed, and instantly the leprosy disappeared. This is kind of key for this whole chapter, is Jesus says, I am willing. So we know that Jesus was always willing to heal people. So verse 4, then Jesus said to him, Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Verse 5. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. So this is really cool because you would think that at this moment, people would be like, all right, cool, Jesus is going to come and heal him. But then we go to verse 8 and it says, But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. This shows you the faith that this woman had. This is amazing because if you already know, about this time when the Israelites, the Romans were pagans, heathens, but this woman had such great faith that it was like he didn't want Jesus to come. He knew that if he just spoke, his servant would be healed. And it really, kind of corrected me to how I limit God. I think I got to see something, yet this woman's servant, this woman centurion didn't have to see anything. He just had to know that Jesus spoke. So if we go on verse 9, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the verse 13 says, Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. It's just amazing that faith that he had. All he knew was that if Jesus spoke it, he believed it, it happened. And it's a reminder of what we need to do. Okay, now if you will, drop down to verse 23. This one God was really correcting me on too, something about the disciples here. So verse 23 says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to go down to drown. And this is key here. The disciples said, Lord, save us. In verse 26, Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Then verse 27 says, the disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked, even the winds and waves obey him. God was showing me that they said, Lord, save us. But it's like in their heart, he wasn't sure if he was Lord. Because they were like, well, who is this man? You know, that it's like, it reminds me of, why do we go to God and pray and ask him for something if we don't truly believe that he's going to follow through? I mean, that just, you know, God was convicting me with this. It's like, I have gone to God before about things, but I know in my heart, I truly didn't believe that he was Lord. And it's like, you got to truly believe with everything in you that he is Lord. So when you go to him and ask him for what you need, for whatever it is your situation is, he is going to follow through. Now, if you will, go with me to Psalm chapter 78. It's really amazing because the Bible is so full of stuff that just teaches us, you know, teaches us how to live and walk according to his will. I'm going to read this from King James Version, and I'm going to start at verse 35. So Psalm 78, verse 35 says, and this is talking about the children of Israel when they went to the wilderness. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yes, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and coming, and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? Yes, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt, and his wonders in the field of Zoan. I'll just stop there, but this is how they limited him, is they forgot, you know. God would deliver them out of a mighty hand, and they would forget. And it shows me that, you know, but God remembers their flesh, you know. The flesh is not spiritual. The flesh, you know, every day we wake up and we gotta, Paul talks a lot about it, you know, the spirit and the flesh, you know, they war against each other. So just, God's been working on me on not limiting him. And I just wanted to, you know, encourage you guys today that, you know, don't limit God, you know. Whatever it is that you go to him for, just believe and trust with everything in you that he's going to follow through, because I know he will. And it's just, again, that Roman centurion, that faith that he had, that was like, you don't even have to come to my soul, just speak the word and it will happen. So that's what I encourage you guys today.
Amen. That was really good. So this morning I was back there praying before church started. And I just felt in my heart that I was limiting God. That was exactly what I thought. And I asked God to forgive me for limiting him. That is just like only God. Most of you guys know that Michael and I don't talk to each other about what our sermons are going to be. We study separately and trust the Lord. But I don't know about you guys, but that I know that was for me. Thank you, Lord. All right, so the title of my message is Replacing Lies with Truth. So yesterday, I was so blessed to give my testimony at Lamp Keepers, which y'all know Christ Coffee Campfire is the men's version, and Michael started going, and then the ladies started one called the Lamp Keepers. And so I went there yesterday and shared my testimony. And as I was putting it together, I just realized as I was reading each thing how much the devil made me believe lies my whole life about certain things, about people. None of it was true. And it's amazing how, especially when you're a kid, it's easy for you to believe a lie. You're gullible. And it's good when you need to have faith as a child. That's why faith is so strong. But when you get older, you need discernment to know, wait, is this a lie of the enemy? Am I believing the truth of God's word, or is that what the devil is telling me? Right? So there is a relentless, which means it never stops, attack from the enemy on all truth that God gives. Every time God puts out truth, the enemy puts out a lie. He puts out doubt. He puts unbelief. Anything that he can alter or change or deceive, he has done. In religion, he has caused many nations to believe in and even create false gods or making themselves gods. He has done everything he can to turn the hearts of the people away from the truth and into his lies. He doesn't even care what it is. He's just going to do whatever he can to get us away from the truth. John 10:10 says, "The devil comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy." And in John 8:44, he's talking to the Pharisees and those who are questioning him, and he tells them, "You are of the father, the devil," because all they wanted to do was trap him in a lie. "And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." We really have to be vigilant, meaning we have to make an effort to listen to the truth of the Lord, because the enemy doesn't just try one way against the truth, but many ways. For example, if you love people, he will try to do whatever he can to get you to hate them, or even just severely dislike them, or maybe just never want to talk about them. Or, like in the church, we do this thing where if we don't like someone, instead of praying for them, like the Bible says to do, we spend more time gossiping about them, and we think, well, I love them because the Bible says I'm to love them, but then we gossip about them. And it's like, wait a second, that's not the Bible. But I've done it. How many times have we done it and justified ourselves for it, right? The enemy will try to destroy relationships, and this is especially between spouses and family members, by making you suspicious of what others are saying about you. And he will even put lies in your mind of other people and make you think, what if they hate me? Or what if they are thinking evil of me? Sometimes you greet people in the morning and they're really tired or they had a bad day, and you think, oh, that person's mad at me. And then you're thinking, oh, what did I do wrong? Or now that person doesn't like me anymore. And you know, it's, and these are just like, maybe that person is just having a bad day, you know? But these are the kind of things that, like, I realized as I was sharing my testimony was, there were so many times when I would accept a lie of the enemy, especially when I was young, because I was not mature. I was easily led astray. And so I would pick up on, like, everybody, I would think in my heart, everybody hates me. I'm just unworthy. Nobody likes me. I'm not good enough. And so I would start to, those were lies that the enemy put in my head. It wasn't anything that, like anybody even told me. It was just a lie that I received and took a hold of. Amen. Isn't that awful? So for every truth, he will give you doubts and unbelief to stray you away from the word of God. So if God has saved you and set you free, God's word says you're the righteousness of him in Christ Jesus. The devil will say, you're not right with God. You're a mess up. You're a failure. You're never going to be right with God. For every blessing in your life, he will either go the proudful route and put the thought in your mind that you are the one who got all of those blessings for yourself because you're an awesome person and you're talented and you deserved it, right? So he'll build up your pride and think, well, I did that, you know? Or he will go the condemnation route and put the thought in your heart that you do not deserve to be blessed because you are a failure or unworthy. Nobody likes you. Because really, the devil doesn't care how you get destroyed. He just wants to destroy you. But our God is mighty to save. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8 in the New Living Translation says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And this is our key as Christians. Whenever we are feeling like someone is thinking evil about us, or the enemy has put a lie in us saying we're not worthy. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is a verse that I've said before, and I will say again. Memorize this verse. Because if you use this on a daily basis, your thoughts will become what God wants you to think about yourself. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? So quite often, now I've gotten better with training myself. But even then, even though I think I know this verse and I know how to use it, even then, there will still be times in my life where the enemy will put a thought in my head and I'll go down that road. And I'll be like, and I'll start thinking another thought and another thought. And then I finally, sometimes it takes me a little while, a couple days even, and I realize, oh my goodness, that was a lie of the enemy. And then I realize all those other things were lies of the enemy. And it's like, oh my gosh, and then I got to repent and like get back on course, because that's what the enemy does. He just wants to destroy our lives. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, and this is New Living Translation, by the way. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. And this is really important, okay? This new way is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed. We are set free. We are delivered. We are made whole. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. Amen. This is the new way. This is who we are. We never give up. Verse 2, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. And I love how New Living puts this, underhanded methods, meaning like the devil will be like, oh, this is a good thing, but then behind his back, he's holding something evil to try to destroy you. So don't fall for the underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And how many times do we all see this on a day-to-day basis? When you minister to someone who has never heard the gospel before, it is like, it's like they have a veil over their eyes, like the Bible says, but it's like they're just, they go into this, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to hear it. Have you ever had that happen to you? And it's just because the devil has blinded to them. He has blinded their eyes. He has blinded the truth to them. And, you know, at first you think that's not really making a difference to that person. Why am I spending the time sharing the gospel with somebody who looks like they're not even getting anything that I'm saying? But when you share the gospel, what happens is the Holy Spirit takes a hold of that and you pray for that person. And that seed, even though it looks like there's nothing happening there, that seed could be falling on any type of ground. You don't know what their heart is, right? So don't worry about what kind of ground it's falling on. Remember that you planted a seed. Amen? And God gets the increase. Okay, so then Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, if you would turn there. And we, you know, most of us, we know the verse, Jesus, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, a lot of times, you know, we look at that verse and we know that Jesus is the truth and he makes us free. But it's important that we know who Jesus is. It's important that we know he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the God of truth. So anytime the enemy tries to destroy truth in your life, go to Jesus and he will reveal it to you. Amen. So Galatians 3:1. And in the King James, it says, who hath bewitched you? But in the New Living, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? This is how powerful the lies of the enemy are. For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? And then over to chapter 5 in Galatians. I'm just going to read verse 7. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? And it's interesting, like Paul knows that it's the enemy, but really, you know, for each of us, it can be something that we've received from another person that the enemy has used in our lives. And so we have to be careful that even for each other, even if we're talking to each other, what are we receiving from each other? Amen. Because sometimes we all get frustrated with our lives and we can actually speak doubt and unbelief into each other. And that is like really, really critical because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if we're speaking doubt and unbelief into each other, how does that affect our faith toward God? Amen. That is critical. And then 1 John chapter 2, if you turn there, please. First John chapter 2, again, this is New Living Translation. And I'm going to start at verse 21. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. In other words, know Jesus. And verse 28, and now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when He returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from Him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. And what's so incredible about this, I read this in the New Living because I like how the whole part reads, but in the King James, it talks about the Holy Spirit is anointed, and it's the anointing that teaches you this truth. And that's really incredible because it says in the Word of God that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And how many times are we in bondage to lies of the enemy? And how many times have we put ourselves in bondage because we have believed a lie and not even realized it? And that's where our relationship with Jesus Christ is so critical and so important. You know, like we don't just like look at Jesus as he's just this God of the Christians, okay? It's not just like he's just another God that's in the world. It's not like that. He is the one true God, and we need to know him. And to know him is so intimate and so delightful to spend time with him daily. You know, like I know Michael. He is my husband. I know everything about him, you know, but even daily, I'm still discovering who he is. You know, just like he is still getting to know me, even after many years of marriage, we are still making that effort to get to know each other. You know, because even as you get older, each decade of your life is like a big change in your character. And you realize, you know what? I don't like the same things I did when we were first married. You know, like when we were first married, it was like adventurous and a lot of crazy things and doing a lot of things. You know, like we were just talking to Michael Kestner about going skiing, and like we went skiing all the time, and now it's like it's just not that important to us. We would like to, but it's just not like, you know, that high up on our list of things to do. You know, so sometimes people change, and it's important to get to know each other. It is the same way in your faith with Jesus Christ. When you were a child, you looked to the Father in heaven as a father. When you were in certain parts of your life, as you get older, you realize, I need Jesus in this area of my life. I need Jesus as a daughter here, but I need Jesus to know how to raise my daughter now. You know what I mean? So there's like different phases in your life where you need to know Jesus in a different way. But it's really all the same because he is the same. It's just that you're growing. Amen. Let's see. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." And then John 14, 17 says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. John 16:13 says, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So if you're wondering, what is coming in my life? What are the things that I need to be prepared for? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He will show you everything that you need to know. And trust me, there are sometimes things that we don't need to know that if we knew, it would almost destroy our faith because we would think, how could I ever handle that thing? But God knows exactly what we can handle, and He reveals to us exactly what we need to prepare for. John 18:37 is the verse where Pontius Pilate is talking to Jesus. And Jesus says, Everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. Everyone. So if you are of the truth, if Jesus is inside of you, if you believe in him, you will hear his voice. Amen. Romans 1:18 says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then Romans 1:25 says, Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever? And this is really critical to our faith as we are listening to everyone in the world. You know, I was thinking about how powerful artificial intelligence is getting, and it's just going to get more and more powerful and more incredible to see and to watch. And as we get into these days of higher artificial intelligence, we have to be vigilant. What are we watching? What are we listening to? Like, I remember, so this is way, way back in the day when Hollywood first started creating movies. And there's this one movie where they actually create a war in a country and make people believe that there's a war in this country. And it was all done by Hollywood. The war never happened. So they put all these videos on the news, and they tell people this is what's happening in this country, and it's terrible, and it never actually happened. And it was just to show people that you can't just believe what you see on the news. Like, you know, like we think, well, that's what the news said, so it must be accurate, right? It's like everyone who lived in other countries and came here for the World Cup, and most of them had been watching BBC. And they come over here and they're like, oh, man, America is nothing like what they have on the news, you know? And they fall in love with America. And it's just to prove that you cannot believe everything that especially the media says. But even on social media, if someone puts out their opinion, is that opinion God's word or is it their own mind and their own flesh? You know, so go through these anytime you're scrolling on social media, anytime you're watching the news, anytime you're even just having a conversation amongst the brethren, even anyone you're talking to on the street, is that word that they are saying truth or is it a lie? Don't receive something of the enemy that could hurt your faith or make you think evil of someone. Amen. And this week, I was just thinking how easily it is. Like, have you guys ever just had a friend and you're talking to that friend and suddenly something's wrong and you're like, did you not understand what I'm saying? And they take something wrong, you know, if you've ever had that kind of thing happen. In the restaurant, oh my goodness, in the diner, if there was ever any kind of misunderstanding or miscommunication, it was like chaos. Like someone puts an order in and you didn't hear correctly, and then the next person doesn't hear correctly, and it's like suddenly, oh my goodness, everything is going wrong. Well, that's the way it is, the way the devil tries to destroy us in our relationships with each other, with our spouses, with our family members. He'll be like, this is what they're saying, but that isn't what they're saying, right? And so not only do we have to be vigilant with things in the world, but even in our own households. Like there are so many times where Michael and I could be offended by each other and we could hurt each other and take things the wrong way. But God has really helped us to be patient with each other. When we were first married, it was not so much. I was the one who was like always getting angry and very selfish and, always like, well, what did you mean by that? You know what I mean? I just really took things the wrong way so many times. And but then as I matured, I realized, oh, that's just me. That's just a lie that the enemy has led me to believe, and it's not important, and it's something I need to just let go, right? And as you mature in your faith, you'll realize there are a lot of things that are just not important. You know what I mean? They're just things that the enemy wants to just try to deceive you in and try to destroy relationships that you need in your life. Amen. So don't let those, even if it's a suspicion, like especially as a couple, I use this example a lot because Michael and I have grown a lot in our relationship with each other. So when we were first married, we worked a lot of hours. And so I would go to work at 4:30 and come home at 4:30 a.m. to p.m. And he would go to work at 8 a.m. ish, eight or nine. And he would come home 8 or 9. So that was like we rarely saw each other because I would go to bed early until the weekend. And there would be so many opportunities where we could have been like, well, what are you doing when you get home? You know what I mean? Or how late were you working tonight? But because we loved the Lord and we loved each other, we didn't even let that come in to be an issue. Because if we had let that come in at the very beginning of our marriage, it would have destroyed the rest of our marriage. So, like, it's amazing how little bitty lies, if you listen to them, they'll reap just horrible consequences for later on in life. And if you start believing that lie, sometimes the devil will just make that happen and he will be like, okay, he or she is believing that lie. So now I'm going to provide a temptation to go along with that lie, right? And that because again, the devil just wants to destroy our lives, right? But when our hearts are toward the Father, then we can look at different situations where things could be the wrong way, but they're not, right? And then again, the Holy Spirit gives us discernment. So if there is something that is wrong, how do we figure that out? We listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. And when we think, God, is there actually something wrong? The Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to us. Amen. So let that voice of the Holy Spirit lead you instead of the lies of the enemy. Amen. All right, that's all I have today. You can go ahead and stand. And I just want to encourage you, if you're wrestling with any lies of the enemy, trust in him. If there is something that you're having trouble letting go, pray to him. But also, if you need prayer, because it is so much easier to conquer the lies of the enemy when you have somebody in agreement with you who can pray with you and for you. Amen. All right, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you that you are true, that your word is true, and it does not return to you void. In the mighty name of Jesus, we take authority over every lie of the enemy that he has spoken to each and every one of us, even down to our childhood, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord God, that we receive your truth, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you would cleanse our hands and our hearts and our minds. And God, we just also ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us, Father, for limiting you, Lord. You are awesome and powerful and mighty to save. You are our healer, our provider, our caretaker. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. God, whatever it is that we are limiting you on, reveal it to us, God. Show us, Lord. Expand our faith, God, that we don't limit our faith, but that we believe that your word is true. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you, Father. Amen. You are dismissed.